following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Bonita. No, no, no. Alawa. Bonita.
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Greetings, Forcecast fans, and welcome to another edition of the Forcecast. I am your host, Pete. And not with me this week, my best buddy Jason. But thankfully, in his stead, we are lucky enough to have the inveritable one, Jimmy Mack, with us. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Pete. How you doing, Star Wars fans?
Well, and Jimmy was nice enough to join me, knowing that, of course, another working vacation for Jason. That guy just never stops working, whether it's Celebration 4 or his real job. He just never stops working, although he seems to be going to some cool places, L.A., Tennessee, you know. The good stuff. But anyway, we are on for the June 22nd episode of the Forcecast, and we are proud to be the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. As we customarily do, we are going to start with a little thanks to our sponsors, OfficialPicks.com, who are the people that make this happen, and you can check them out for all your officially licensed autograph needs. And something new that we just got from Ben Stevens over at Official Picks this week is that the Master Picks photos, which are the, if you were at Celebration 4 or you looked at any of the merchandise, they are the ones that are with the black borders that have the movie on it and the 30th anniversary logo, those ones which were very popular at C4, they are now available in their online store. So you can check those out. And they actually have 5 complete Master Picks sets with the signatures, autographs of all the actors available. There's only 5 of those available. They are at $1,185. So it's not a cheap item, but that's one of those items where if you have a full set of those, it's something that very few people are going to have. Thanks again to Official Picks. And thank you to you, Jimmy. I didn't get a chance to say that. Thank you for helping me out. I was a little bit jittery about this, but you've helped pull me through it. So thanks for being here.
Anything for you, Pete. Us Forcecast teammates, we got to stick together, you know?
That's right. That's right. So, well, and speaking of Forcecast teammates and at least some new members of the Forcecast that we've got joining us, well, not necessarily of the Forcecast, but of the Force.net. We'd like to give our big Forcecast welcome to Mick C. and Mike Kurtz, who are joining the staff here to volunteer to help us out with some things. Most of the people should know Mike C. from the forums. Mike and Mick, I get mixed up sometimes.
Getting your Mick's and Mike's confused.
You know, it happens when you have to be the host. It's hard to wear Jason's shoes. Not only because they're hard to fill, but they're also kind of small compared to mine. So, we're happy that Mick and Mike are on board, and those are two guys that I got the chance to meet while I was out. Where we actually got a chance to meet while we were out at C4, and great guys and great additions to the team. And Mick will actually have a report for us later from Star Wars Weekend. So he has hit the ground running as far as his contributions not only to the Force.net but to the Forcecast as well. So welcome to those guys. And if you're looking for a chance to jump on board, there's another position that Dustin Roberts is looking to fill. If you are interested in fan art at all, drop an email to Dustin Roberts with the title TFN Fan Art, and we're looking for somebody that would be able to help maintain that gallery for us. So if you're interested in that and you've got some things you think you can add to the team, definitely drop Dustin a line, because we're always looking for new help.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
Celebration 4 is not over by a long shot, my friends. I don't know if you've been checking the RebelScum.com feeds or what else that we've got going on, but Dan Curto has feverishly been putting up some more information from C4, and by the time C5 rolls around, we'll have had the whole thing covered from top to bottom.
The attendance at Celebration 4 broke records. Tell me about it, Pete.
35,000 individuals went through the gates over that weekend and, you know, got to see all the great and exciting stuff there. And that doesn't surprise me in one bit, not only from of being there, but also just the amount of people that we ran into and the amount of people that were there. And, you know, there were certain people that we saw the first day and never saw again, or people who were there that we never even got a chance to meet. So it just gives you an idea of the magnitude of what was going on there.
I think I nearly ran over almost every member of that 35,000 person audience as we were doing the Kessel Run.
That may be true. And even some of the people who weren't there to see Star Wars, some of the people on the outside that were just hanging out, we got to meet some of them too. So
this is true. This is true.
Some of them asked for some, for Jason's watch.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot of fun. So. But some of the great things that came out of that, the silent auction or the auctions that were held, the four silent and the one live auction of the merchandise raised almost $170,000 for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is just astounding. And that's something that continues to grow as Hasbro has jumped in with that and their KT and droid that's going to be coming out. And we should have more update on that. As it gets a little bit closer. But, you know, just to kind of wrap it up for us, Steve Sansweet with a quote says, "The success of Celebration 4 is a testament not only to the enthusiasm and creativity of fans, but also proof of the strength of Star Wars."
I think that
wraps it up pretty well.
That says it all right there, my friend.
And we know that it's going to continue to keep going and keep getting bigger. And to that end, Sarah over at Adam Films dropped us a line just to let us know that they are continuing to have the fan movie challenge. They're going to keep that going kind of on a year-round basis. And they're kind of going to focus things a little bit. They're going to initiate new programs on a quarterly basis to keep things new. And she wanted to let us know that the one that they're working on right now is women of Star Wars. You know, there's a lot of great female characters out there and looking for some more heroines to join in on the fray. So if you have a film about a Star Wars female or you're looking to make one, make sure you have it to them by August 31st, 2007, so that it can be considered for TV airing on Spike TV. So
AdamFilms.com, that's where people want to check in for that?
And we know from this show that there are a lot of female fans out there. You know, if you're in high school and there's that good looking girl that you've always been looking to talk to and you go, "Hey, I'm making this film that might I'd like to try and get aired on Spike TV. Will you be in it?" It may create a long lasting relationship. So, you know,
there you go.
You never know what you're going to get out of the Star Wars universe.
Dating advice from our own Pete.
The caveat that I am 30 and single. So take the dating advice as you will.
Yeah, take with a grain of salt.
That's right. So, and just want to let you know that the Canadian Fan Expo is going to be happening on August 24th and through the 26th. And there's actually going to be some great Star Wars guests there. Hayden Christensen is actually going to make his first ever convention appearance.
Wow.
So you want to make it out for that if you can. Also, Jake Lloyd, David Prowse, Daniel Logan, Alvin Johnson, who's the founder of the 501st, Aaron Yondo, and Matt Sloan, who are the creators, writers, and directors of Chad Vader, the popular online fan film. That's all going to be happening at the Metro Toronto Convention Center, again, from August 24th to 26th. So if you're in the area, you definitely want to check that out, especially since Hayden will be appearing for the first time.
Yeah, it's your one shot to get young Anakin, older Anakin, and dark side Anakin all together in one place.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's unique.
That's a cool photo op right there waiting to happen.
I hope somebody gets it. Hope one of our listeners scores it and then comes back and sends it in for us to share with everybody.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Well, we're going to pop on into a quick Celebration Europe update. But Jimmy, you had the chance to hear some Star Wars chatter in an unlikely source. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah, this is true. Two of my biggest passions are Star Wars and the Chicago White Sox. Yes, I am hopelessly addicted to both. This past weekend, our White Sox were in Pittsburgh playing the Pittsburgh Pirates. At one point, White Sox television announcers Hawk Harrelson and Darren Jackson, made a little reference to Star Wars as they showed the Pittsburgh Stadium, PNC Park. They showed a shot of it from across the Allegheny River. And here's what Hawk Harrelson had to say about that shot.
The dark side. Obi-Wan, Luke, I am your father.
So Star Wars really is everywhere. It's it's at your post office. Oh, it's at Los Angeles at the convention center, and it's in Pittsburgh for the White Sox television broadcast. That was actually Darren Jackson, former White Sox outfielder, doing that impersonation, if you want to call it that, of Darth Vader. But just thought that was pretty funny, and I wanted to share it with our Forcecasters.
That's always funny.
Let's hear it one more time.
The dark side. Obi-Wan, Luke, I am your father.
I don't think James Earl Jones has anything to worry about.
Pitiful little band.
Star Wars Celebration.
So you like London?
Double-decker buses, bobbies, little pubs.
There's Big Ben, there's Piccadilly Circus.
And we're kind of light on Celebration Europe news. I'm hoping it's the calm before the storm, as they say. But just in case you're still looking to get into Celebration Europe, the 501st wants to pay your way in. So what you can do, and this is from Kenny of the UK garrison of the 501st, he let us know that they're going to be running a competition where five lucky winners will be receiving a one-day family pass to Celebration Europe. And what you have to do to win is just show the 501st how good your artistic skills are. So all you need to do is send Star Wars related artwork to the 501st Garrison headquarters, and you can check out our show notes for the address there. But the judges of this are going to be an expert panel, including the very lovely Bonnie Burton. And I won't say very lovely, but the very talented Matt Bush and Tom Hodges, who we've had the pleasure of not only having on the show, but also meeting in person. And so you can know that there's going to be some keen eyes dropping on this fan artwork. So if you're still looking to get into Celebration Europe, this is a great way for you to not only show off your skills, but also have somebody else pay your ticket to get in there. And again, as we've said multiple times on this show, it's the 501st doing what they can to be in the community.
And of course, your artwork is going to be seen by Bonnie, Matt, and Tom, who are the brain trust behind the DK book, How to Draw Star Wars.
Right. And what we've talked about is that, you know, a lot of their ascension into being official Lucasfilm artists comes from, you know, just saying, hey, I saw this here, or, you know, just somebody getting a chance to see their artwork and them taking off from there. So you never know what may come out of it.
That's right. So bring that artwork out of your house. Let some people take a look at it, and you never know. Maybe you'll end up at Lucasfilm someday. How cool would that be?
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So let's move on. Anything else in Celebration Europe news?
Nope. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
And we do have some big news in the Indiana Jones universe. Today, as well, June 18th, 2007, I should say, is the day the article went live, marked the first day of shooting for Indy 4. So, you know, this is kind of the monumentous moment where we know it's actually going to happen for real, you know, because they're into it now. So they are still gearing up for that May 22nd, 2008 release. It is, again, another marker just to show, hey, we are moving towards this Indy 4 release, and it's going to be something big.
Yeah, and we're all pumped up to see this thing in the theaters. So best of luck to the Lucasfilm crew, to Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, Harrison Ford. I hope that back holds out. And everyone else involved with the production of Indy 4. We can't wait for it. We're looking forward to it. And Godspeed.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. So, and coincidentally, for the first time in a while, we have another big marker in the road towards it becoming a final project, and that is the announcement of the marketing and licensing of the film. So we did get a press release this week, and the licensees have been set. our favorite, one of our favorites, Hasbro, will be doing the line of action figures, vehicles, and role plays, as well as some games. Lego will be developing some of their unique type of construction toys. Hallmark is on board. They're going to be doing cards and ornaments and party goods. Random House, Scholastic, and DK Publishing will be doing their books. LucasArts will be doing the video game. So it's going to be the type of media blitz that we've always looked forward to and always enjoyed when it comes to a Lucasfilm.
Tell that to my wallet. Looking forward to it. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Jason and I have been very happy with what we've seen from Hasbro in the last couple of years, and I can only, you know, lick my chops at what they're going to do, and you know, the publishing team that's always worked with Lucasfilm on the Star Wars books has always been top notch. So I know they're going to do a killer job. So it's enough to pump you up and just make you go, right on.
Bring it on.
So those are our big markers. There's not a whole lot more as far as those go for right now, but you can look for a lot more here in the coming weeks. Yes, Forcecast fans, you know exactly what that means. It's Robot Chicken time. And hopefully all of you got a chance to watch the Robot Chicken episode, the Star Wars extravaganza, as it was. And an extravaganza it was.
What a good time. What a good time.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, to see our favorite characters involved in some of these situations was hilarious and frightening at the same time.
I think I know at least one that you're referring to, and that was the Boba Fett.
Yes, the Boba Fett. Started out good, and then I think it kind of slipped away from canon a little bit there.
Yes, that definitely goes with the "this has derailed" type of performance. That's the one that you hope cameras never catch, but unfortunately for Boba, it did.
Yeah, to the credit of the guys from Robot Chicken, I think that's exactly what they were looking for. So,
sure. And it was a great night, just because the episode also included the people that are responsible for it. Breckin Meyer and Seth Green, but those people who are responsible for bringing it forward, they got to do some commentary and talk about some of the stuff that went on behind the scenes. And there was a great part for me that made me laugh, and it was Breckin Meyer trying to introduce the next segment and Seth Green flying an X-wing shooting at him through the screen every time he started to talk. I was really happy to see, because those guys just genuinely had a great time with it. And I don't want to give anything away, but there were some really great scenes.
What was your favorite moment of that show?
I think my favorite moment was the Admiral Akbar commercial.
Ah, yes.
Breckin Meyer doing the voice.
The voice of Admiral Akbar?
Of Admiral Akbar. Just really, it just made everything come alive for me. And it's actually one of those things where it could have been a commercial that I remember from being a kid.
I guess we'll have to eat this boring oatmeal.
It's a trap!
Wow, Admiral Akbar! Wow, Admiral Akbar cereal!
Colorful marshmallows!
Imitation crab meat!
Your tongues can't repel flavor of that magnitude!
There's a prize in every box!
Admiral Akbar cereal! Now with brine shrimp!
You can't not laugh at the line, "Your tongue can't repel flavor of that magnitude." I mean, that's just great.
That's a line that should have been in the movies, quite honestly. You know?
All in all, just a great time. And what was your favorite?
I really liked the Ahmet Best cameo that was in there. It was a scene that you dread would ever happen in the Star Wars universe, but it's the reunion of Anakin Skywalker and Jar Jar Binks, except this time Anakin is already transformed into Darth Vader, and he's already running the scene on the bridge of the Star Destroyer, and all of a sudden...
Inform the Emperor that the Jedi Temple has been sealed.
Yes, my lord.
Annie?
What's up?
Annie! Little Annie!
Jar Jar, I am no longer Anakin Skywalker.
These are some nice adults, you pooper!
Look, Jar Jar, it is very important that you never speak to me again.
What's happened to you?
You should burn your face.
Jar Jar...
What's happened to you?
Jar Jar, homie, my main man, quickly. Before the Separatists attack, get into the escape pod.
Hey, if this is escape, then we're the pod.
And the body of Jar Jar Binks gets launched into space. That's, you know, there's a little more to that bit I didn't want to play at all, because if you haven't seen it yet, I'd hate to spoil it, but...
Right, and you can go to StarWars.com and the entire thing is put up there, which I thought was awesome.
Along with a behind-the-scenes special, too, that shows the creation of the fabulous sets and actual figures that they used in the production of this special. Really cool.
And that stuff's great, and I actually have a friend from college who worked a lot in claymation and did some commercials and stuff like that, and it is a painstaking process. You know, it is not, you know... instant reward. There's a lot of work that goes into that, and I know those guys put in a lot of time getting that set up.
Kind of like this podcast?
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and some days more painful than others,
yes.
As they say.
Yes.
But all in all, just a great thing, and I was glad that they, you know, again, we talked about this a little bit as the weeks have progressed. It's Lucasfilm and George Lucas and all the people over there are being much more open at taking the tongue-in-cheek stabs at themselves, you know, and just realizing what makes fans laugh and that all of this stuff is done out of love. It's not because they want to make fun of it. It's because they just enjoy it so much that everybody just wants a chance to play in the sandbox a little bit. So
this is true. And a guy like Ahmet Best, who has taken a lot of unnecessary flack for the character he's portrayed, whether you like Jar Jar Binks or not, I mean, it's funny to see Ahmet Best be able to laugh at it and act so goofy with that voice and parody himself, essentially.
Right. And Mark Hamill as well, and George Lucas, of course, all being on there as guest voices, I thought was tremendous.
And I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
George really loosening up, you know, and having fun with his franchise. You know, he's made his bajillion dollars producing this stuff. Well, why not just kick back and have a good laugh every once in a while?
That's right. He doesn't have to answer to the critics anymore. And that segues me into my next topic of discussion. And we know how much Jason is fond of lists. And so RottenTomatoes.com compiled a list of the 100 best reviewed sci-fi movies. Now, we've all heard George talk about how the critics panned Star Wars and they panned Empire Strikes Back. And, you know, obviously they were really hard on the prequels and everything. So it's always good to see where these things show up. So, and with the absence of a drum roll or anything else dramatic, Return of the Jedi ranked 87. I can kind of see that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, to us Star Wars fans, we obviously rank it way higher than 87.
Yeah, it's going to be higher than that. But Revenge of the Sith, prequel movie, ranked number 51. Almost cracked the top 50. That's not too bad.
Really, a prequel beating out something from the original trilogy.
Yeah, isn't that surprising? This is reviewed movie, so it has nothing to do with like an official ranking of where they are. But then the movie that everybody panned, A New Hope, ranked number 9. So
as
in the top 10.
That's the masterpiece. That's the classic. That's the Gone with the Wind, yep. The Wizard of Oz, Star Wars.
Yes. But then, is there one ranked ahead of it? Of course there is. And which one is that, Jimmy? Can you take a guess?
Well, of course, it would have to be everyone's favorite. Empire Strikes Back.
The Phantom Menace.
Oh, no. Get out.
No, it's coming in at number 6.
So that's, you know, again, say that again, that's Empire Strikes Back coming in at number 6?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, again, it's only amongst sci-fi movies, and who knows how well sci-fi movies are actually received. But, you know, these movies obviously have their place, and whether critics like them or not, we all have, but I always thought it was funny just because... George always talks about that. He always jokes about the fact that the critics hated all the Star Wars movies, and
What's the number one movie on that list?
Let me see what they have on there. I'm going to say that it was, take a guess while I'm trying to figure out which one it is.
Number one reviewed. Now, see, that's the thing, reviewed. So it definitely wouldn't be a Star Trek film. Aliens, of course, is very popular. 2001, A Space Odyssey. I was never a big fan of that one. You know, I'm growing up in the Star Wars generation. To look back at 2001 and be blown away is practically impossible. And sometimes with these lists, you know, they'll throw something in there that may not necessarily be considered sci-fi by many. But my guess would be either 2001 or the original Alien.
Well, I have it pulled up here, and I will give you a hint. It is a Steven Spielberg film.
All right, well, that leaves us with Close Encounters and E.T. I'm missing one? It can't be War of the Worlds. No, please don't tell me it's War of the Worlds. God.
No, you are correct, sir, in that it is E.T.
E.T. Phone home. Now, there's a connection.
So that is the number one reviewed movie of all time. So
there's some connections with E.T. and Star Wars. Of course, E.T. made a cameo appearance in The Phantom Menace. A few E.T.s, actually. And then in the original E.T., the actual film itself, I know some Star Wars action figures made some cameos. There was a Halloween scene when the kids are walking down the street and E.T. sees a kid in a Yoda mask and starts running after him saying, home, home. And then a behind-the-scenes connection between E.T. and Star Wars is the woman who did the voice for E.T. was also the woman Ben Burtt used to voice a bounty hunter named Boosh.
There we go.
And yeah, her name escapes me right now, and I don't believe she's with us any longer, but Ben Burtt does make mention of her in his book, The Galactic Phrase Guide. And so there you go. I mean, you know, and of course, the friendship between Lucas and Spielberg has always been, you know, written about and talked about. And so, you know, one hand washes the other in this case. E.T. and Star Wars, unlikely bedfellows. Or likely bedfellows, as it may seem.
Well, and not to be outdone, entertainmentweekly.com did a list of the top 25 action films of all time.
Ah.
Now, I don't know if I would consider those to be action films. You know, everybody's kind of weird about how they do sci-fi versus action and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Star Wars as a cat was lumped into that category. Do you think any of them made the list? Now, obviously, it's pretty obvious because if they didn't, we wouldn't be talking about it. But
that's right.
Can you guess which one it might be, Jim?
Which one made the list?
Yes.
Well, they all have a fair amount of action in it. But again, as I said, the classic is the original Star Wars A New Hope. I would, you know, think that just from the trench run alone, that and the Death Star scenes and the shootouts with Han and the troopers, and there's a lot of action in that flick. To me, it could be anyone, but I'll just run with the original Episode 4.
Well, and I would tend to agree with your assessment on that. However,
they
went ahead and did not include A New Hope, but Empire Strikes Back did make the list as the number 12.
There you go.
Top action movie of all time. And coincidentally, again, one hand washing the other, Raiders of the Lost Ark came in at number 3. And if you're wondering what the validity of this list might be as far as, you know, what they ranked number 1, just to kind of give a comparison, Die Hard.
Die Hard. It's got its moments, you know, but oh man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's number 1 material, and I'm a huge Bruce Willis fan. So I just can't say that I think that it is number one material. But I digress. Again, that's what makes these lists fun, is the fact that you can discuss and debate everything that's going around that surrounds these things. So
let me tell you something about these lists, too. I'd like to know who's compiling these, because a lot of times I think that movie company marketing departments have a lot to do with this. And look at the timing of this. The Die Hard sequel is coming out in a matter of weeks, you know? Mm-hmm. They have the pub machine going full forward on this. Something tells me that this list is nothing more than just a publicity ploy for Die Hard as a franchise. That's just the cynic in me saying that, you know? I mean, I have no proof, but I mean, the timing is suspect, and that's just what I think. I think Indiana Jones is the best.
Well, you know, we can always speculate, and again, that's what makes lists fun, is the discussion that pops out of them. So we won't throw our Entertainment Weekly copies in the fireplace just yet. We'll save them for a nice winter day. So
both these lists, they rank Empire over the original Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. It's a popular opinion to say that Empire is your favorite, and if it is, fine. It should be. You know, I mean, that's your opinion. I will always, you know, have the feeling that the real classic was that original. And sometimes I think people just say Empire is better than the original Star Wars just because it's become the popular opinion. No knock on Empire. Don't start writing me emails. You know, I love Empire Strikes Back. And to me, a lot of times, it's a toss-up what my favorite one is, the original or Empire. But I always go back to A New Hope simply for the fact that that was the first one. To me, that is the classic that ranks up there with Gone with the Wind, you know, Godfather and Jaws. And I mean, those are the ones that you want to put in the vault. Put Empire in there too. Put them all in there. I love all Star Wars, but my sure. personal opinion is I'll always favor the original Star Wars. And that's just my feeling. It's the most complete. It's the most self-contained, and it started it all. What do you think, Pete?
I agree.
Really?
We're going to put you on the hot seat a little bit later with some of that stuff. But, you know, I've said this a couple times. My kind of changes just with the winds. You know, my favorite growing up was Return of the Jedi. And then I really gained a new appreciation for Empire as I got older. But recently, one of the scenes that I never really cared for as a kid, but has really become just a microcosm of what I love about Star Wars is the trench run. And the intensity of that run has really moved Star Wars back up A New Hope back up the list. And, you know, but it just seems to change with things as they go on. But it's kind of hard because I wasn't sure who said it, but they basically said, you know, I just kind of see the films as one big movie. I think maybe it was Kyle.
Kyle.
Might have been Kyle.
Yes.
It said that he sees, you know, each one as one big movie. And it's hard to separate them out as far as a part that I like, because I don't think Empire works as well without Return of the Jedi or without A New Hope. A New Hope tends to stand on its own better, but is kind of wrapped around with Empire and Return of the Jedi and now the prequels. So all that's it's hard to separate them because they all work intermittently with one another, and just it combines to become the thing that I love the best. It just comes down to which one of your children do you love the best? Can you actually ever decide? I don't think so.
Right, so. Right. And we're all so close to this Star Wars thing. It's like, you know, they are our children in many ways, you know. These are
right.
Stories and films that we, just as fans, have nurtured and brought along. And Lucasfilm has been more open lately about letting us, you know, we say it all the time, play in the sandbox. And, you know. I can't tell you which kid I like the best. There are some days. Some days I do have that answer, though. There are some days, especially when a little one's acting up. But
yeah, well, you know,
the chosen one, he is not. But let's face it. Again, before everyone writes me hate letters saying, "How could you like the original more than Empire?" Listen, folks, I love them all. I'm really enmeshed in all these films, and they're all great. And we here at the Forcecast don't make a habit of ripping on things, because we know that there are so many different levels of fandom. And what you might not like might be, you know, what you might hate, someone else loves. And there's room for everyone. This is an all-inclusive thing. We're all here to enjoy Star Wars and what it represents to us personally. And it's personal too, you know? So, hey man, everyone has a right to their opinion.
Right. And, you know, we've been lucky enough just to have so many things to be excited about for the last year, there was not as much excitement in between episode 2 and episode 3, and now it's there's exciting things going on almost on a weekly basis, which is nice because that keeps the show rolling. But it's just fun to have so many things to be passionate about and to talk about and enjoy. And sometimes we don't even get to the things that we're not happy about just because there's so many stuff that we do enjoy. So where did we even start on that? That's a tangent. Jason and Pete proportions right there.
Well, actually, we had left off talking about the list from Entertainment Weekly. We did notice that the list both ranked Empire above all the others, and I think that's a debate for the ages right there, my friends.
That's right. If anybody comes up with an answer, they're lying to you. Well, and we'll wrap up our part of the portion of the headlines today just with a quick hit up on some of the books that are due out. You can look forward to the 30th anniversary of the hardcover series. I'm hoping some of the people are really getting into this. This is the reprints of the some of the best hits, if you will, of the comic book series in the in hardcovers. So coming out this week is the Light and Dark, which is the reprint of the Clone Wars trade paperback volume 4, and that's 54, Aayla Secura, Dooku, and Republic 63. So there's a couple other ones that are going there. Again, there's pre-orders on this stuff, but once they're sold out, they're done. And then also, Jay wanted me to mention that there's the paperback version of Darth Bane, Path of Destruction is due out, which leads us into another rumor, which actually has been confirmed, and that is that there's another Darth Bane book on the horizon. That's right. We've had it confirmed that there is going to be a second Darth Bane book scheduled for release on December 26th of 2007. It will be authored by the author from the original, Drew Karpyshyn, who came on the show. And again, I really enjoyed the first Darth Bane book and actually ran through it quite quickly, which is almost a apocalyptic feat for me when it comes to reading books, because I do tend to read very slowly. So good news to hear that not only is there another one which revolves around a fairly cool character, Darth Bane, but also from an author that I truly enjoy, and that's Drew Karpyshyn. So confirmation of that's very exciting, and again, it's not too far away. December 26, 2007, that's coming up, so I hope Drew's got his writing gloves on, because he's going to need a little extra juice.
A fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
Right now, we're joined by our action figure and collectible guru, Dan Curto. Dan, welcome for jumping on here with us.
Thanks.
Obviously, Hasbro and Lego and all the other kind of stuff, they all had big announcements at C4, and the dust is starting to settle a little bit now. Is there anything popping up now that's going to start hitting the shelves here sometime soon, or hitting the news wires anyway?
Well, we just got the new comic packs with Quinlan Voss and Vilmar Grock. That wave just came out. So the next wave that going to feature more characters from the Infinities, from I think there's a set from Heir to the Empire, the Luke mm-hmm. and Mara Jade. That set looks really cool. I think that'll be out towards the end of summer, though. The big thing that hit while we were away at C4 was Wave 3 of the 30th anniversary line, and all six of the vintage figures also came out, too, so this was a big one.
Yes, I picked up a few of those, and I thought after C4 I would relax on my pocketbook, but it hasn't seemed to work out that way.
No, plus Saga Legends, Wave 1, all 10 figures of that also came out, too. I haven't even picked those up yet.
So Wave 3 is out there, Dan. When can we expect to start seeing some figures from Wave 4?
Wave 4 will be hitting probably towards the middle to end of August. Usually it comes out every 6 weeks is what the goal is. And that one's going to be a mix. It's going to have two characters from the Cantina scene from A New Hope, and then the rest are supposed to be from Return of the Jedi, I believe.
Is there any news out there coming from Hasbro?
Oh, lots of news. I mean, you probably saw at the Celebration 4, the General Grievous Starfighter was the big announcement. It's a 3¾-inch scale, and also kind of explains, when you think about it, why General Grievous is part of the Saga Legends line, because, well, you have the ship, you're going to need the pilot.
And yes.
Hasbro's really trying to make sure everybody gets everything this time around.
Speaking of General Grievous, there was a situation at the Hasbro booth during Celebration 4, right? With a Grievous prototype. What can you tell us about what happened there?
Yeah, okay, yeah, I can tell you that. Stephen Hayford and I went over and we were talking with some of the Hasbro reps, see if we can get some, you know, different shots of the figures, maybe some of the characters with their helmets on or helmets off or whatever. And we wanted to see Hermie Odell from the back because, you know, we just saw him with this big cloth cape, which was kind of cool, but we wanted to see him from different angles. And when he picked up the General Grievous and was kind of monkeying with him to switch the mask and stuff, he broke the leg of the General Grievous figure.
Now, this is the actual prototype, correct?
Yeah, this is a hard copy prototype that they had on display. And, I mean, once they get him into production, they just throw those out anyway, which was kind of interesting to find that out. But, yeah, he accidentally broke the leg and he kind of sheepishly put it back on the shelf. And then we were looking at the C-3PO figure with the Salacious Crumb, and he actually broke one of the pieces of Salacious Crumb as well. So, kind of said, okay, guys, I'm going to have to put these down.
Now, who exactly was breaking all this stuff, all these figures?
That would be my buddy, Daryl.
Daryl DePriest from Hasbro.
DePriest, yep. Yeah.
As long as it wasn't Stephen Hayford.
No. We were being good, you know, sitting back and watching as all the action was going on.
And there are pictures of this incident?
Yeah. Actually, I did.
So we got photos up on RebelScum.com. And speaking of some of your reporting on Rebel Scum, I've noticed that this week you've really started to flesh out your coverage of the collector panels from C4.
Right.
That's all great stuff. I mean, that's coverage you're not going to be able to find anywhere else, folks.
Well, this was challenging because I didn't actually attend all the collector's panels. But a friend of mine who was at the show, he went to every single one of them except for the last two on Monday, which I was able to attend one of those and get him the last medallion that he needed, which was the Darth Vader one. But he went and he took notes and photos of every single panel and sent them on to me, and it's just taken me a while to, you know, decipher them all. And it's some good stuff. I mean, a lot of it, if you're into collecting, you've been into it for a while, you probably know all this. But for those who were kind of walking around the show, maybe you didn't get to see it.
And who's your buddy? Let's give him a little Forcecast love.
Is Aaron and his wife Renee Warmerdam. I think you might have met them at our room.
Oh boy, up in the Rebel Scum suite.
Yes.
A lot of laughs.
Room 501, of course.
Yeah, room 501. Who would have thunk that?
I know. That wasn't planned either. In fact, when I got to the hotel and she told me I was in room 501, I laughed and I said, "Are you serious?" And she goes, "Why, what's wrong with that?" I said, "Never mind, it would take too long to explain."
Anything on the Indy 4 front? I know we just got the press release that Hasbro does have that license for the Indy 4. Have they said anything about what their plans are going to be, what they're going to do with it?
To date, anyway, we haven't any info on Hasbro's involvement, although we did get a press release from LEGO just the other day. There are three different sets they announced, which are pretty cool. One of them is Temple Escape, which recreates the legendary boulder scene from the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark. The second one is Raids for the Stolen Treasure, with two desert vehicles, and I guess Indiana Jones jumps back and forth between the two. The next one is Indiana Jones and the Lost Tomb. Indy rescues Marion from the slithering snakes in an Egyptian tomb. And the final one is from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. It's the motorcycle chase, which I guess that's pretty self-explanatory. So four sets from LEGO for Indy that we know of so far.
Hey, Dan, I saw that you had posted the Hasbro Q&A today, but is there anything good that you can tell us out of there that might be of interest of the folks out there?
Our first question that we asked was in regards to one of the announcements at C4 was that Hasbro is creating a coin replacement program. So if you've been getting the collector's coins in the pack line that have been all scratched up, you'll be able to replace them.
Has that been a big problem, Dan?
It has been. I personally, I only have two that are really, really bad, but there's a lot of dings and a lot of scratches, and Hasbro's had a lot of problems with these coins this year. They wanted to do it, you know, in honor of the 30th anniversary, but I have a feeling they kind of regret it because there have been a lot of production issues with it. Starting August 1st is when they should have that replacement program available up on their website, so look for some announcement probably at Comic-Con about that.
Of course, we'll update everyone about that on the old Forcecast as well. What else can you tell us, Dan? You're so into the Hasbro line, and as you well should be, it's the cornerstone of Star Wars collecting, if you ask me. Most of us got into collecting as the original trilogy was being released through the original Kenner line. And I just am curious to know, what is the product that you are looking forward to the most that we know is coming out in the near future?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm of course, everybody knows my biggest thing is the action figures, so I'm pretty jazzed about all the stuff that's coming out for that.
What makes a Dan Curto salivate in anticipation? Putting you on the spot here, buddy.
You are. I mean, I dig all the ships. I dig all the figures. One of the coolest things I saw at the show was actually the Macquarie figures. I am loving these things. They're such hokey designs in some respect. I mean, obviously they're not, you know, on screen true to life, but I love the original paintings that Ralph McQuarrie did. I love the figures that they're coming out with.
Yeah, I'm with you
there. We talked about the Chewbacca earlier. That's just the tip of the iceberg. All of these ones are really, really fascinating, and I hope they continue it beyond this year.
Right. I noticed that several were announced over at C4, like the concept Snowtrooper I had never seen before. That looks
right, cool. Right. That was the first time that was shown.
That looks really cool. So we can expect more of those in the future. They're obviously extremely popular with fans, judging from the fact that I can't find any of them in the stores.
Yeah, well, that's a tough one because not only do they have the cool coins this year, they got the Macquarie figures, and those are what they call chase figures. So there's only one per case. I mean, you got to get there right away if you want to get them.
So, just a regular person like me who goes with the family to Walmart or wherever, and I want to go check out the aisles, is it necessary I have to be there at 6 a.m., or are these things going to keep coming out as the year goes on?
Well, they will keep coming out as time goes on. I mean, like any other Star Wars line, when it first comes out, it's impossible to find because you get all the collectors in the area run to the stores every day, trying to get the latest things. Once you start seeing Wave 4 hit the shelves, Wave 3 should start being more abundant. Although the Macquarie figures, I think, will still be a tough one to get. What I do, it's funny, because I've actually never seen Macquarie Chewbacca on the pegs. I've only seen them in my hands when a fellow collector picked them up for me. So if you're looking for a way to, you know, kind of how am I going to get all these things, ask around. See, you see somebody in a store that you're in, see if they're collecting, and maybe they have friends who collect. And in my town, we have a network of about 30 other people like myself who go around and we pick up for each other.
Fans helping fans.
Exactly.
Tips from the master.
You know, we have our own section in the Rebel Scum forums, so we post, you know, we have a code system for the store, so we kind of defeat the scalpers trying to get there before we do.
it's now the plans of the Death Star.
Really well.
Now, Pete, you're really into the hunt too, right?
I am, but you know, it does get frustrating, I have to say. Although, you know, I did get the Macquarie Chewbacca, and I was happy about that. But I, regret some of the things that I had to did. I pushed an old lady out of the way. I grabbed it out of some kid's hand, and all those kind of good things that you don't like to talk about when the lights go down.
What's
no, I was actually lucky enough just to kind of jump in and find one just sitting there. And that's like, you know, when you're with somebody who doesn't care and you go running down the aisle like you're 12 and grab it and you're like, oh, yes. And they look at you and go, you are crazy.
Painful confession.
And I say, yes, I am.
When I go, you know, I told you when I take the family, that's when I usually hit these type of stores, the big box ones at least, is just, you know, typical running errands with the family. And there are times we'll walk in and I so much want to just go down there and see what they have. But I have to maintain my cool as the leader of the family, you know, and just sort of force the whole trip to the back of the store, typically where the toys are. Going with my kids is always always a difficult proposition because, you know, if I find anything, I got to get something for them.
That's right.
You have to find a balance between being a toy collector and being a dad.
And how exactly do you do that?
I don't know. If you find out, let me know. The rule is there's daddy's toys that you don't touch, and then there are other toys that you can play with.
There you go. Yes. The way I have to work it out with my kids is it's like a library system where they can check things out. But, you know, it has to be returned, complete, or they will be fined.
A lot of mine are still in storage, so...
That must be tough. You know, you take the time to collect all this stuff, and it ends up in storage where really no one can enjoy it.
Yeah, but I'm married.
Yeah, so.
Wait,
it's going to be uncovered someday, like the temple, you know, like the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah,
know,
right.
Stan's collection.
That's
there'll be
right,
ferns
that's right.
in it and stuff. I want to be there for that, like Geraldo.
Like Geraldo opening up the vault?
Yeah. Like...
You'll find more in there than he found in the vault, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
What'd he find, an old dusty bottle? I wouldn't mind breaking into Dan's vault. He's got everything in there. You know it. You know it.
I got all, not just Star Wars either. I got all kinds of stuff locked away.
Listen to this. So what else do you collect? Just real briefly.
Well, these days, not so much. Back in the 80s and the 90s, I had a lot of the Marvel Comics and DC Comics superhero figures, a lot of the early Spawn figures, if you remember those from McFarlane Toys.
Sure.
Jeez. Some statues. I got this really big Lobo statue because I was a really big Lobo fan back in the 90s.
Lobo.
And it's got like a real chain and everything.
Lobo the Biker.
Lobo the Biker. Great,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right on.
I have no idea where that statue is right now. Probably in my garage.
That would make a great hood ornament.
Yeah.
The Lobo statue on the front of your Toyota. So, Dan, tell us about your websites.
The biggest, I mean, if you're talking about Cool Toy Review, that's the main goal for Cool Toy Review is basically we do everything over there for other toy lines that we do with Star Wars on Rebel Scum. So we photo archive it, we do press releases, we have news, we have a community. Right now, our forums is sort of tied in with Rebel Scums at the moment. I mean, as we get bigger, we'll launch our own separate dedicated forums. But right now, it's sort of just part of the Rebel Scum team because obviously Rebel Scum has a bigger name.
Right on. So if you're used to the quality and standards of Rebel Scum, but you're also, like Dan, interested in collecting comic book figures or whatever else, go check out CoolToyReview.com.
Right. So I got something else for you here, too.
Oh, here we go.
I haven't posted this yet. This is the good stuff.
This is what we've been waiting for, folks.
Okay. Now, keep in mind, a lot of this that I'm about to tell you is completely not official. Okay? This would be a rumor list of items that were discovered by some of my spies. Not me. But some people that kind of got back to me after the show and said, hey, Dan, check out what we found out. You can use this. So the first thing, of course, is Wilrow Hood. Not so much a surprise. We kind of announced that on the front page. This is the ice cream maker guy that's been an internet sensation for several years now. Nobody really wants to have this figure, but at this point it's sort of like, you know, you got to do it.
You just have to do it.
For so long. They have to do it.
Now, at some point, Hasbro played a prank on everyone and said that, yes, they were releasing him along with Fried Up Baru and Owen and a bunch of other kind of wacky picks. But apparently the fan reaction was so strong in relation with this character especially that they're just going to go ahead and pull the trigger on it, huh?
They're going to. Not this year, not next year. Probably in 2009. They're going to work on it. The question with Hasbro with this particular character is how do they want to release him? They want to release him in a battle pack or they want to put him on a single card. And it's looking like the last that I was told anyway is that it'll be available on a single card but not for a couple years. So
we got Ice Cream Guy to look forward to finally. So everyone can calm down, okay? Ice Cream Guy. Coming.
He probably won't be called Ice Cream Maker Guy. He'll have a different name.
I'm old school. I still call him Hammerhead, Walrus Man, you know. That's just,
right.
He's Ice Cream Guy.
He is what he is.
A few other secrets that were uncovered by our spies. The B-Wing Fighter will be making a return if you remember, it was
yes.
a ship in the Power of the Jedi line, originally came with a Sullustan pilot. This time, rumor has it, it will come with a human pilot.
Good. It's about time we got some credit here, you know?
Well, if you saw the A-Wing pilot and some of the X-Wing pilots they've been doing lately, I mean, they're doing a great job with these human pilots here.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, they're really changing them up.
Yeah, yeah. I think they'll have, you know, every flavor of the Rebellion at some point.
Sounds good.
Another one that I have here is on the battle stand, the 40-pack that was just out, on the sticker sheet, there's 200 different labels that you can use for the stands, right? One of them is an Ewok named Lumat, who, rumor has it, will be packaged with a female Ewok next year, complete with a Walkling.
Fantastic. With the baby.
With the baby, yeah.
The Walkling. That'll go good with the Tusken Raider mom and son.
Right,
combo.
Right.
What else you got for us, Dan? Anything else?
Yeah, oh yeah. In the comic pack world, okay, remember the two packs, they're coming out again next year. They're going to continue the line. And we've already revealed that there are going to be some characters from the Legacy comics.
Oh, they are finally going to release Legacy figures.
There's at least one that I'm aware of. No specific characters can be mentioned at this time, but...
Right. But, I mean, you know, I just use an educated guess and...
Right. It's still early. The one that I personally know about is not one of the main characters from the comic series, which is probably not very helpful, but take that for what you will. Also, there'll be another comic pack from the Purge comic. The one character that I know of is Sue Choi, which is a little tiny dude.
Wow, they're really just, you know, they're leaving no source untouched as far as figures go. I can't believe it. All this stuff would even be a long shot to be a custom figure a few years ago, and now Hasbro's just jumping over every Star Wars source to produce figures and keep this line going.
Well, you know, I've said this before in an earlier show, and it's definitely true. Back in 98, Hasbro came out with a expanded universe line,
yes.
8 or 9 different figures from across different sources. Then they kind of had to stop doing stuff like that to do these prequel movies. Now that the prequels are out of the way, they can get back to the expanded universe and really make some cool-looking figures.
Something that attracted me to the Hasbro line when it was first announced that they were going to get back into the business, actually Kenner back then, and start making the figures in the 90s, was the fact that the line had the potential to reach several hundred and include characters like Thrawn and Mara Jade and stuff. And so I, obviously, being a big fan of the Timothy Zahn novels, I was thrilled to get that Grand Admiral Thrawn figure back in 98. And I look forward to seeing a lot of these expanded universe characters being fleshed out, as it were, in plastic.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Thrawn. He's on my spy list, too. He'll be updated in 2008.
That's great news.
Another one, speaking of Imperial guys, the Empire comic book series will get some love this year. Or next year, rather. And if you remember Tank, that's all I'm going to say.
Tanks for the memories.
there was a character in the comic book who was turned out to be Tank, Luke's boyhood friend.
Man,
yeah.
you are a wealth of information this go-around. Is there anything else? Dan, you know, I'm not going to stop you. Just keep them coming.
All right. Another one. We'll, you know, The Force Unleashed.
Course.
That wave that was shown at Toy Fair and then shown again at C4, it's pushed back until 2008. Well, that's coming out, right? That'll be out in 2008. But there's one character missing from the 7 that we've seen.
Go on.
That would be Vader's secret apprentice. So I would not be surprised to see him coming out next year. Speaking of other things, the Clone Wars trailer, of course, premiered during Celebration 4, right?
And very cool.
I made a big stink about the fact that, well, not stink, but a big point to mention to Hasbro, hey, you know, in previous Q&As, you've often said that if the AT-TE vehicle is in the Clone Wars cartoon, we may see it in 3 3/4-inch scale. Well, one of my spies went up to him and said they'd really like to see it. He thinks it would look really cool. One of the Hasbro designers said to him, it does, smiled and walked away.
Mm-hmm. Kind of with a knowing sort of glint in his eye, right?
That's right. That's right.
Nice.
And he also was able to find out for me that people that like the big vehicles will not be disappointed next year.
Aha.
What this means exactly, but you should start saving now if you want to afford what they have coming out.
Dan,
go ahead.
You're just a nonstop wealth of information. A nonstop wealth. And here it is, you know, a few weeks removed from Celebration 4, and I've heard a little bit of bemoaning of the fact that there hasn't really been much news coming out lately, and you're going to quiet that argument for sure.
Well, I've been sitting on it.
There you go. See?
And I wanted to wait till the right opportunity to announce it all, and when you guys asked me to come on to the show, I figured this would be the perfect time.
Well, no time like the present.
No time like the present.
Another interesting thing that was revealed, the TAC line look, okay, the current line, the current card design that we're seeing will continue past the 60 figures in 2007, and it will go over into 2008. The coins, however, will not continue past 60. One of the things that I've been hearing is they may see a return of the Battle Pack stands. The stands that we saw last year in the Saga Collection may be coming back.
Good. You know, I always appreciated those. And that's something I've always appreciated about the old Kenner line and the current Hasbro line is the fact that the figures all did have those holes for the pegs underneath, you know?
And especially some of the sculpts that they have, it's kind of hard to get them to stand.
Yeah.
On
yes.
their own.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the big joke back in the Power of the Force 2 days is that the reason Ben Kenobi, for example, came with the super long lightsaber.
Right.
Because you had to turn it upside down and use it as a ski pole to hold, have them stand up.
Exactly. That's yeah. how you do it, like a cane.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So, okay, once the line continues into 2008, it's going to change. What's it going to change to? It's going to change to the Clone Wars, the 3D series they're coming out with.
Now, okay? Is that going to be where the focus of the line is all going to be pointed towards, or is that going to be a separate line?
It's going to basically be the Star Wars line starting, I would imagine, sometime over the summer.
I see.
And as we've seen with other lines, there will most likely be overlaps as they change from, you know, 30th Anniversary Collection to Clone Wars and then whatever they have, you know, planned after that. So there'll probably be a bit of an overlap.
Right.
Obviously, original trilogy characters wouldn't fit into the Clone Wars line.
No, not at all. So Hasbro's going to... you know, we can say temporarily abandon the film trilogies to focus on the Clone Wars TV show.
Correct.
All right.
I mean, again, right now we don't know where the Clone Wars TV show is going to be airing. We don't know how many episodes it's going to be. We don't know too much about it. All we know is the trailer looks awesome.
Yes, it does. And if you haven't seen it, you can check it out for yourself at StarWars.com. What else you got, Dan?
Well, take this with a grain of salt because this is really early rumor reports. But we'll be seeing a Marvel Comics version of Jabba the Hutt.
Now, we're not talking a big slug. We're talking the original Marvel Comics series from 1977 featured the deleted scene, then deleted scene, of Han Solo's confrontation with Jabba the Hutt in the docking bay. And Marvel, having really nothing to go on, just picked a background character out of Mos Eisley and threw him into the scene and called him Jabba. So for a while, that's actually who, when references to Jabba were being made, that's who we were picturing until the giant slug made his debut in Return of the Jedi.
Right, right. And in fact, the alien that the Marvel artists used has now been named Mosep in the expanded universe. And he's actually in A New Hope, wandering around the streets. So one would think that if they were going to do that and paint him in the comic book colors as Jabba, we might get a normal colored Mosep available at some point as well.
So he will be marketed as Jabba, not Mosep, at least out of the box.
That's what I'm told, right, right.
Cool, cool. And that will be a comic two-pack or an individual?
I would imagine that would be in the comic pack, probably packaged with a Han Solo figure painted in comic colors, I would imagine. I don't know. Again, that's just speculation at this point.
You got anything else for us, Dan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. let's do it real quick. Couple other figures that are on my list, I don't know, again, if they're true or not, but hey, why not? Commander Praji, who is one of the Imperial officers that was in the beginning of A New Hope. Wes Janson, snowspeeder pilot from The Empire Strikes Back. And ARC Trooper pilot, which would be the gunner for the Republic gunship from the cartoon series. So if you remember that, they showed him real quick. We've got the Hunt for Grievous ARC Troopers. We've got the Clone Wars gunship. Why not the pilot, right?
Right on.
That's right.
Hasbro is leaving no stone unturned, it looks like.
That's right. That's right. From episode one, one of the senators, Toonbuck Tura, which you have to look that one up, but she is basically this big furry mole-looking creature. That one is on the rumor list. An updated version of the Rebel Fleet Trooper with super articulated limbs, so no more of the swivel knees and the bending fall-over feature. This will be, you know, super articulated and one that everybody kind of really is looking forward to. Now, a couple of new vehicles are on the works, one of which has been rumored for a little while, but there will be a new set of speeder bikes, similar to the Walmart-exclusive Treachery and Seleukumai Battle Pack. If you remember that, came with two different clones, Commander Neo and his troop. We're looking at two speeder bikes with the Biker Scouts, probably. And supposedly there's some type of new feature that will allow the speeder bike to be supported sort of in a hovering mode. So I guess like some kind of a clear stand or something.
Cool for displays.
Right, exactly. We might be seeing a repack of the Rancor or some kind of improved sculpt on that. Not sure about that yet. And one thing that I'm sort of interested in is they're thinking of bringing back the AT-ST, only this time with an expanded cockpit that will fit two drivers in it.
Ah, finally.
Oh.
Right. Now, the interesting thing about the AT-ST, and I've said this before, the AT-ST and the AT-ST driver have never been available at retail in the modern line at the same time. If you go back from Power of the Force 2 to Power of the Jedi to even the Saga had a driver in it, you never had them available. So if you buy the ship, hey, where's the pilot? You buy the pilot, hey, where's the ship? Can't buy it. Hopefully, you know, this will either have, you know, one or two pilots packed with it, or they'll be sold individually, you know, in the modern, you know, in the regular line.
If I remember correctly, when they came out with that Scout Walker, it was pretty hard to find at retail.
That's true. And, you know, it wasn't available for very long either, because when everything in Power of the Force 2 switched from orange to green, that was one vehicle that didn't follow over.
There you go.
A lot of the other ones did, and they, for some reason, didn't release it until years later with in the Power of the Jedi line, and they packed it with a speeder bike and Paplu, the Ewok.
Well, man, you're quite the historian on this stuff. You really just remember it all. You got anything else for us?
Yeah, one final thing I can mention, and this has been hinted at for a little while now, but so one might as well bring it up again. Although play sets traditionally don't sell very well, okay, there has been talk about doing some type of environment scene, where, not a build-a-scene. Everybody kind of wants that, right? But this will be some sort of a cinema scene set, okay? And a couple things they're thinking of doing is a Death Star, which is really cool.
Awesome.
The big one is the Cantina. So you'll have, like, an alcove with a couple of, you know, table and some chairs. You're going to be getting bar pieces that are coming out again. So eventually you'll be able to create sort of an environment for your figures.
That will be fantastic.
Yeah. It's all early planning stages. We probably won't see this until 2009, but it's all stuff that we're hearing.
Dan, it was great to have you on, and we appreciate all of the Bothans that may have died to bring us this information. But we look forward to hearing you soon and bringing us more good stuff about Hasbro.
Sure, no problem. Always a pleasure to be on the show.
This is the Weekly Forcecast.
Honey, it's Darth Vader.
Thanks, Mom.
Guys, just gotta come over the dark side.
They have free food.
The galaxy is listening.
Star Wars, Star Wars Cantina.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Well, and we would be remiss if we didn't take this opportunity when we actually have Jimmy Mack here live on the show, if we didn't put him through the cantina that Jason and I went through and that we've put several of our guests through. So, Jimmy, how did your fandom start?
Well, it's pretty easy. I was late to the party, meaning when I say late, I'm talking midsummer 77. The film had been out for a few months, actually, before I got a chance to see it. I was an eight-year-old going to summer camp. And I remember the first time I really heard of Star Wars. My parents weren't too hip on taking me to PG movies at that point in time. I was, you know, there was a lot of G-rated fare out there in the mid-70s. You know, you had your Apple Dumpling Gang and Herbie Goes Here and, you know, cartoons and stuff. And there was enough of it out there to really keep us busy on weekends when we wanted to go to the theater. I remember the first PG movie I actually saw in the theater was the summer of 77. And you think it would be Star Wars? No, it was Peter Benchley's The Deep, which was an okay movie. I actually did have the comic adaptation from Marvel to go along with that. But at summer camp, all the kids were buzzing about Star Wars. And I was kind of left out. I didn't really get it. I remember they brought in this van, this white van we were going to paint, and it was going to be in a parade. And all the kids wanted to paint Star Wars on it, and I painted The Deep. That didn't really go over too well, at least with my comrades who were painting cool X-Wings and TIE Fighters, and I was drawing a picture of a guy swimming in the water with something resembling a moray eel chasing after him. I finally got turned on to Star Wars for real, though, when my mom brought home a loaf of Wonder Bread. Yeah, that's right. A loaf of Wonder Bread turned me on to Star Wars. When out with the bread came a trading card, and the trading card was a Tusken Raider. And I looked at that guy, and he looked at me, and there was a connection. And I walked around with it, and I showed my friends, and I said, "You saw Star Wars, right? Are they all so ugly like this guy?" And they're like, "Oh, you're not seeing anything yet." So I started really getting on my dad. "Dad, you got to take me to see it. Dad, you got to take me to see it." And that summer, it was in the theaters for the entire summer. And he finally did take me and my brother to see it at the Edens Theater in Northbrook, Illinois. I remember getting there late. We missed about the first 13 minutes. I never saw the Star Destroyer fly overhead. I was kind of...
Oh.
Yeah, I was kind of in the dark. We got there when 3PO was emerging from the oil bath. But yet I was...
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot that I was like, what? You know, I was. I remember after seeing the movie, I picked up a pack of trading cards, and there were a lot of scenes in there where I was just like, what? And my dad was assuring me, "Oh, we just missed the beginning, the credits." No credits in this film, Dad. Gotcha. So I was into it then. I was into it. And the trading cards were pretty much the only thing that was out there for collectors of any kind, and there were no collectors. It was all marketed towards kids. And
right.
Finally bothered my mom, who I knew would be responsible to get me to the movie on time. She took me back to see it. And then that's when I saw the Star Destroyer come overhead, and that's when things really started to fall in place for me. I remember after that screening, the second time I saw it, I remember I said to my mom, I said, "George Lucas is my best friend." And at that point in time, I didn't, you know, what eight-year-old kid knew what a director did or who a director was or anything. But even at that age, I already had an awareness of what George Lucas was and how his creativity was able to provide us with so much entertainment. The impact that second screening had led me to my first Star Wars hallucinations, where I thought I would see Star Destroyers off in the distance. You know, it's just a kid's imagination punching it.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that's just how it was. And, all, you know, and everyone was into Star Wars back then. And we were all just clamoring for those figures to come out. And we were buying the cards up. And, you know, then you'd hear from a kid saying, "Hey, there's new Star Wars cards. These ones are orange and they have behind the scenes stuff." And so you go down to the pharmacy and you buy up every pack you could afford, which, you know, would be one or two packs. You'd read the Marvel comics over and over again, and you'd have your buddies who would insist they saw the film with the big scenes in it, and it just, you know, started snowballing. Then Empire was the first movie I ever remember seeing opening day. I stood out there. I was 12 years old. I was with my brother and two friends of ours from school, and we stood in line for 2 hours to get in there, to guarantee we'd be able to see the film. And that, at that time, for me, that was unheard of, waiting in line for a movie. You know, obviously, because I was getting all the movies late, thanks to my dad. He was in no hurry. But I love him too. Happy Father's Day, by the way, Dad. So, you know, it just kept moving. And then by the time Jedi came out, I admit it, I was, I graduated from the eighth grade. I was looking forward to becoming a freshman in high school. And I did enjoy Jedi. I saw it maybe 4 or 5 times in the theater, which was way down considering I saw the original in the theater about 20 times, and Empire I saw at least 10 times in the theater. And Empire, something funny about Empire is there's a lot of talk about spoilers, and with the prequels, you know, you'd have friends who wanted to be spoiler free, and you'd have other friends right. who wanted to know everything. I decided to become spoiler free right after I saw Empire Strikes Back, simply for the fact that that spring, we were hearing rumors on the playground. Kids would come around saying, you know, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. You say, what? Yeah, my buddy, he heard that somewhere. I was with my mom at a shopping mall in Chicago, and we stumbled into a Walden Books where I saw the novelization of Empire Strikes Back. And I couldn't help myself. I looked in the back. I read the line, I'm your father. I told my mom to buy it. This is a good month before the movie came out. And I bought the book and read most. I had most of it finished by the time the film came out. But the real killer was I went back into that Walden Books and they had the Empire Strikes Back storybook. And I had to look at the photos. And I saw Han frozen in carbonite. And that, I remember that night, you know, I told you that was the first movie I ever waited in line for. And when I got in there, you know, walking out of there, I felt like I robbed myself, that I knew too much going in. The only thing that really came as a big shocker to me was when Luke's hand got cut off. To me, in the novel, I don't think they were really clear that his hand was chopped off. I thought maybe he got cut or something, but it was kind of a, wow, it was great. I loved it. I was so happy to see it. And it was also like, why did I spoil it for myself like that? Nothing was a surprise. Everyone's just shocked at the Darth Vader revelation that he's Luke's father, and I'm just like, do that about a month ago, you know, and so I said, no way. So for when episode 1 rolled around, I really was able to remain spoiler free. And I was shocked that I was able to remain so spoiler free with all, you know, due credit to TheForce.net, the greatest Star Wars news site there is. I had to avoid it because I didn't want to know. I didn't want to know. And every once in a while I would, you know, I'd go on there and I kind of look around, and some of the rumors were just absurd about Charlton Heston playing Yoda and Qui-Gon was Anakin's father. I mean, you'd see this stuff and I'd just say, I don't want to know this. I don't want to know this. But back to the original trilogy. Yeah, you know, Jedi came out and I was going into high school and my thoughts started turning more towards cars and guitars and girls, and I had stopped collecting. By the time I was a junior in high school, my friend, his little nephew, was having a birthday party, and he was driving me home from school. I didn't have a car at the time, and he wanted to stop off at this toy store to go pick up this gift for his nephew, and I saw on the pegs all of the Power of the Force figures up there with the coins. We're talking 1985 here.
Right.
And they were 50 cents to a dollar each. I'm talking a man, Luke Stormtrooper, Han and Carbonite, the biggies, the real hard to find ones. And I cleaned them out. I cleaned them out and opened every one of them. And I still have them in my collection. The vintage collection is practically complete with the exception of Yak Face. I made a big deal about trying to score one at Celebration 4, and the pickings were slim. So if you have if you have a loose Yak Face, and I don't care if it's beat up or what, you know, and you're looking to unload it, get a hold of me here at podcast@theforce.net. But, you know, back to Star Wars. So, you know, it just never went away for me. And here I am now, a senior in high school. I went back to that toy shop a few more times to get whatever else they had. And, you know, put the collection away for a while. And then I actually met a guy who's a real good guy. And he's a comedian here in Chicago, and he's an actor. And his name is Bill Leff. And he was actually in the movie Major League, I'm sure you're familiar with because you're such a Cleveland Indians fan.
Without a doubt, line by line.
Yeah, well, he's the one. It's too high, too high. He was one of those guys out in the outfield hitting the drum. You know,
yep.
Fans, the super fans. But this guy is a toy collector like you wouldn't believe. And he actually ended up working with me, and he told me all about his toy collection and stuff. And I said, hey, you know, I think I got a lot of that stuff in my mom's house. And prior to Star Wars, I was into what most kids were into, those little Mego superheroes. And,
right.
And the $6 Million Man and G.I. Joes. All that stuff went in a garage sale. And I had some good stuff there, too. But somehow, she knew that the Star Wars was real important to me. And that was something that I'd want to share with my kids. So she kept it put away, and everything was still in great shape. And I pulled out that collection. And that was right about the time Hasbro brought back the action figure line. And from that point on, well, hey, you know, just about anyone listening to this show has been along on this journey along with me, you know, collecting the figures and all that. And it's just been a blast. So that is a good way of making a short story long. But, that's just the impact Star Wars has had on me as a kid. And now as an adult who can share this kind of great stuff that Lucas created with my own children and who eat it up, you know. It was the most important thing to me growing up. Comic books, baseball and sports, and Star Wars. And, you know, it's been a blast. It's just been a blast. Who knew? Who knew that when I went there to see that movie 13 minutes late 30 years ago, that I'd still be sitting here talking about it and having as much fun, if not more fun, with that franchise.
You know it. And I couldn't have said it better myself. So, but I'm not going to let you off the hook. You have to do the Star Wars questionnaire.
I knew this was coming.
Yes. So here it is. I'm going to give you the questions and you have the answers. So here's your first one. What is your favorite Star Wars line?
My favorite Star Wars line was probably... I always like when Carrie Fisher tries to spit out those lines that she always has a lot of difficulty with. And it's, what is, she says something to Han Solo when they're getting ready to blast off out of Hoth, and she says, "You're never going to get this bucket of bolts past that blockade." You know, it's just, there's just something about that. It's such a tongue twister to say, but she really pulled off that line, man. Whether or not it's my favorite line of the movies, I don't know, you know? I mean, I've always liked the last line of the original one, which, of course, is Chewbacca.
Where's my medal?
Where's my medal? Yeah, translated. But, you know, that's the first one. You asked me the question, and that Princess Leia line is always kind of cracked me up a little bit.
All right. What Star Wars moment makes you smile?
That's easy. And it's also, I think, from the same scene in Empire Strikes Back. It's when Han runs into the cockpit and he fires up the engine and the whole thing shuts down. So he punches the panel and it fires back up again. As a kid growing up in the 70s, two of my favorite things were Star Wars and Happy Days. And that move is pure Arthur Fonzarelli. And nobody is cooler than the Fonz, except for maybe Billy Dee.
Oh, baby. Okay, so what Star Wars moment then makes you sad?
Star Wars moment that makes me sad. The death of Anakin Skywalker in his son's arms, essentially. You know, that's the end of the story right there, folks. And if you ask George Lucas, that's what he'll tell you. He doesn't want to do any more movies because the Skywalker saga has been told. And the Skywalker saga began with Anakin as a kid and ended with him there on the floor of the Death Star. And that to me, you know, it's the end. So I always felt a little sad about that.
Gotcha. Okay, so who is your favorite Star Wars character?
For this moment, this time, this interview, I'm going to say Han Solo. Han Solo always brought a bit of real-world weariness and cynicism into the ultra-fantastic and improbable Star Wars universe. And he seemed to always bring it back to, you know, make the everyman sort of go through it with him. And that's something I always liked about Han Solo and the way Harrison Ford pulled that off. And that's something that's sadly missing from the prequels.
I don't think you'd have anybody argue with you on that. But I'm surprised it's not, the other Star Wars character that I know that you're quite fond of.
Oh, you want me to say Kitster? That's so
that's
wizard.
Kind of lobbing it in there.
That's so wizard. No, you know, I say Kitster. I like to crack you guys up, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I enjoy it every time. It's something that never is not funny. But okay, so who is your favorite or your least favorite Star Wars character?
Wow, my least favorite Star Wars character is Queen Jamilia, because she's mostly worthless. They come to her. They have a problem. Someone's out to kill Padme. Something seems funny with the whole galactic political system. And what does she say? Well, we just got to have faith. And then she gets up and walks out. She starts walking out. And, hey, you know, Annie's getting a little frustrated. He's, you know, he's got his problems with her. And then this political figurehead is just sitting on her hands. And I never liked the way she looked at Annie when he started questioning Padme. She gives him sort of a look like, hey, back off the sister, you know? And, you know, I thought Annie's concerns were legitimate. So, Queen Jamilia. Queen Jamilia. I don't want to see her anymore.
Yeah, we're done with her.
We're done. She's not even not even worthy of an action figure, so.
No.
Maybe Dan Curto knows something about that, but I don't think there's going to be Queen Jamilia's coming down the pike anytime soon.
Okay, so, what job would you like to do in the Star Wars universe?
I wouldn't mind being bartender at the Mos Eisley Cantina. I think the tips might
be
okay.
That's a rough place.
It is a rough place, but it's my kind of place. It's got a lot of character and a lot of characters and interesting drinks and whatnot. I would be a bartender at the Cantina. I'd have a good time with that.
Yes. And what would you not want to do in the Star Wars universe?
That's easy. Rancor Keeper. Think about it. Think about it.
Hey, but he looks so happy and so sad, all in the same thing. You know, when the Rancor died, he was so sad. He had to have some attachment to it.
You know, I mean, I had a Labrador Retriever as a kid, and I really didn't like cleaning up in the backyard after her. And you could just imagine what the Rancor is leaving behind in its litter box. So, No, thank you. Need a steam shovel to clean up after that thing.
All right, and so to wrap it up, if there's another Star Wars movie to be made and you were cast in it, what would you want to hear George Lucas say when he says cut on your last scene?
It's Miller time.
Very good. Well, Jim, I appreciate you going through that for us. And just so I don't get an email or a phone call, Jay Shepard, I'm going to do this to you as well. You're going to get it whether you like it or not. So he's been chomping at the bit to get his shot at it. So it's coming soon, Jay, I promise. But Jimmy, thanks for doing that. I really appreciate it.
That was fun.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And we're going to start to ramp things up here a little bit with some of our listener mail. And we still have a few coming in and some that we haven't quite gotten to yet as far as Tales from C4. So we're going to try and get into some of those. Here's one from John in San Diego. Take it away, John.
Hey, Pete and Jason. This is John out here in San Diego, California, calling with my Star Wars tale. This one from this last weekend from a celebration. And good Lord, what a weekend it was. Man, I go to Comic-Con every year in San Diego, and that's like the main convention that I've been to, you know, in my life, and it's great. It's a lot of fun. I have a blast there. But man, Celebration was something else, man. It was just completely mellow and very relaxed. Star Wars, I mean, it just kind of instills that Star Wars fans are just the best. You know what I mean? They were just like, I didn't see any animosity. There's no people like angry, upset, or anything. Like, everyone was just there having a great time. I think it was better because it was nice and spread out, so there weren't as many people all in one area, you know, with the separation of the halls and just the different places you can walk around to, and the meeting halls and panels and stuff that were upstairs. But man, it was amazing. It was amazing. I hope you guys had a good time. I spent a lot of time in Artist Alley. Got a chance to talk to some real amazing artists that I look up to, Tom Hodges, Adam Hughes, some amazing people in there. Got some sketches done, spent a lot of time just chatting with them while they're doing their thing. I spent about 10 minutes talking to an amazing guy, Lauren Peterson from the Sculpting Galaxy, who was the master model maker on all six films. And he is was probably like the nicest and most genuine guy I talked to all weekend. He was there. He had all kinds of people like wanting to talk to him, but we just kept talking away. It was pretty great. I was really stoked, and I did get a chance to pick up the Ralph McQuarrie book, which is amazing. Hope you guys got a chance to pick that up, because that is really something to have for any hardcore Star Wars fan. I spent about an hour and a half looking through it yesterday, and I'm only about a third of the way through the book, so it's going to take some time to get through it. But man, what a great source of reference material, and all kinds. It's an amazing thing to have. Got the Darth Malak exclusive bust from Gentle Giant. Was really happy to get that, and didn't get everything I wanted to. You know, funds are a bit limited, just like they are for everybody. But yeah, man, it was a great opportunity to be there. I'm really glad I did. I only went Saturday, Sunday because of scheduling issues with school and work. But yeah, man, yeah, I'm sorry that I didn't get a chance to see you guys. I was hoping you guys would have a booth, and maybe you did, maybe I just missed it. But I really wanted to get a chance to let you know that I really appreciate you guys' podcast. I listen to it every week. I've been listening since the very first one. I wanted to shake your guys' hand, but it's all good. Maybe next year, maybe next celebration. But anyways, just wanted to leave you a quick message with my quick tale right there. But I had a blast at Celebration 4, and I'm sure you guys did too. And keep up the great work with the podcast, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Well, thanks, John. We really appreciate it. And we're sorry we didn't get a chance to meet you as well. And next time around at C5, we're going to do a little better job of to be visible. So we appreciate that. And I'm glad you had a good time. Glad you enjoyed all the same stuff that we did, because it was really a great time. So now we're going to move on to another John, and this is John from Seattle. Take it away, John.
Well, well, what have we here? This is Lando Calrissian, and you are listening to The Forcecast. Hey, guys, this is John from Seattle. Just wanted to do my little Lando impression. Just wanted to say that it was great meeting the both of you at Celebration 4 at your live show. So I know it's a little bit late, but just wanted to say that. All right, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
We had such a good time with that, and I'm glad that all came together, because I think we would have lost some of the C4 experience had we not been able to do that. And this comes from a fellow podcaster, Ed from the Voice of the Republic podcast. So we'll let Ed take it away and tell us about his C4.
Hey, this is Ed from the Voice of the Republic podcast, and I'm calling to say that, man, Jason, Pete, team, you guys were awesome with your coverage of C4. So I wanted to thank you guys for, you know, not just doing a report, but like the pre-report, the 4-hour extravaganza was cool to listen to during that weekend. So you guys really provided some really cool content for those of us who weren't lucky enough to make C4. So keep it up, and yeah, long time, first time. All right, and the floor's be with you. Bye.
Well, Ed, we really appreciate it, and it always means a lot to hear those kind words from anyone, but from somebody who works on a podcast and knows what it takes to put that together, we really appreciate those kind words, so make sure to check them out. That's going to kind of wrap it up for today as far as C4 tales go, but we still do have some other voicemails, and we're going to hit Brian from Tacoma. Take it away, Brian.
Hey, guys. This is Brian from Tacoma, Washington. Just found your show. Love it. Enjoying it. Longtime Star Wars fan. Thank you guys for keeping it up. And just want to let you know, you guys have created a new obsession in me by making a side comment that reminded me of the Muppet Babies Star Wars special. Please, if you could do anything to get that on DVD, please help me, Forcecast. You're my only hope. Thanks, guys. Keep it up. May the Force be with you.
That's something that I would definitely like to see come out on DVD. I'm somewhat surprised that we haven't seen that yet. I mean, with all the shows that are available on DVD, the TV seasons, you would think the Muppet Babies would be one, because that stands up. That holds up to the test of time. So hopefully we can do that. And Brian, if there's anything we can do for to get that moving, get that taken care of, rest assured that we're going to do that for you. And our last voicemail for today comes from our good buddy Glenn from Spaghetti Cake. And Glenn, I'll let you ask your question. Go ahead.
Hey, Jason and Pete, it's Glenn Nelson. You know, I got a question for you. Many weeks ago, you mentioned that a new Star Wars plug-and-play game was coming out, and it was based on the classic trilogy. That I have searched Target and Walmart for many weeks and months, and it is not out. Any update on that? The new Star Wars plug-and-play, it's shaped like the Millennium Falcon. It looks very cool. I'd love to know what happened to it and when or if it's coming in. Thanks, you guys. I love the podcast, as always. Rock on, and may the force be with you. Thanks.
Well, Glenn, we have tracked this down, and it looks like that's actually going to be it's still going to be out this year. Their 2007 lineup still does include that plug and play that's based on the original trilogy. Keep an eye out for it. Should be hitting the shelves anytime this year. So if we get any information, we'll let you know. We got a quick report here from our new member, Mick C from Star Wars Weekend. He was out there for week three, and here's his quick wrap-up.
Star Wars days are now at Disneyland Park.
Well, folks, looks like Star Wars Weekend's number three is in the books, at least for Saturday, and we are about to head out for the evening. It's been a great day, a lot of fun activities and events. We got to meet all the celebrities that are here. We got a soundbite from Jay LaGaia, which was really cool of Jay to do. He's a great guy.
Hi, this is Jay LaGaia, and you're listening to The Forcecast with Jason and Pete. Remember, the galaxy is listening.
Got a chance to pick up some of the great exclusives that they have here. They've got a little bit of everything for everybody. So it's a great event. If you've never gone to Star Wars Weekends before, I highly recommend that you put it down on your schedule of upcoming Star Wars conventions, you know, events, Comic Cons. This is definitely something to pencil in alongside those other events. And once again, signing off from MGM Studios in Florida, this is Mick C reporting from Star Wars Weekends 07.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Forcecast. Jason and I will be back next week in our regular seats for our regular show, but hopefully you've enjoyed having Jimmy Mack around, and Jim, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you, Pete. It's been an honor. Remember, keep checking back over the course of the next couple weeks for the return of A Galaxy of Music, coming to a microcast near you.
Thanks as well to Dan Curto for his Hasbro and information update. Thanks to Mick C for his Star Wars Weekends update. Thanks to Jovial J, Dustin Roberts, and all the great crew at RebelScum.com and TheForce.net. And of course, thanks to you for giving us a little bit of your time on this Friday or whenever you happen to be listening to this. Again, if you ever want to contact us, there's a lot of different ways to do it. You can leave us a voicemail at 330-871-4TFN. 330-871-4TFN, or if you have Skype, you can Skype us at username Forcecast. You can also send us an email to podcast@theforce.net, and you'll want to make sure to check out our forums at rebelscum.com, because at this point there's actually a lot of stuff going on that we don't even have anything to do with this. There's a trivia contest that's going on that John Fagan has started, and there's a whole plethora of things that you can do while you're in there, and it's not just to talk to us. It's a community that's starting to really sustain itself. So you want to make sure that you're in with that community. And check out our YouTube channel, our Cafe Press store, so that you can get some merch. And for the Forcecast, this is Pete.
And I'm Jimmy Mack.
And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.